live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 174. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. Tonight, we've got a big show this evening for you guys. We've got NBA draft preview. We've got college football landscape changing, moving around. We've also got NBA Pacers news and notes, rumors, and more. The NFL training camps have started. They're rolling. And then we also have this evening, we're going to talk a little Olympic action and a little bit more. So tonight, 6 p.m., we're here just waiting for Jonathan to get on momentarily, and we'll get started there. I do want to thank our sponsors from the start, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and also Mavericks Custom Motorsports. So I think we got him here. JB, what's going on?
Man, what a day, what a day. That's all I can tell you. It's a hot day here in the Circle City, man. Not that I'm, you know what I'm saying, trying to get any type of weather reports, man. But like, no, man, what a day. It's been a minute since last week, since we last talked, you know what I'm saying, on with the show. But, what a week in sports, and I know we got a great lineup, discussion topics tonight, man. So, you know what I'm saying, I'll let you do your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've kind of broken in already kind of what we were going to be going over tonight. JB, this is not like normal JB. Normal JB's ready to roll, and you got on a little late today. I was shocked. This is old school JB.
Man, right. I'm still gathering information. You know what I'm saying? There's some draft stuff, this NBA draft stuff that's, rumored still, but not just – not just rumor that I would, everybody knows I kind of dab and tip my toe into rumor mills about what's going to happen with, back offices of the NBA, certain NBA offices. But like, man, tomorrow's a draft and rumor mills is turning into like solid concrete deals are probably going to happen. There's also, I know we also got, stuff that's kind of filing from the NFL, either from a Colts standpoint or, mm-hmm. Or around the league as well, man. So like I said, man, I got a lot of things because kind of, pop out by minute, per the minute. I know we live in the information age, man, but it's per minute, man. Things are, coming hot and heavy. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Sorry for coming in late.
No, you're good. Like, my whole day has been completely off. I put on Facebook a little while ago. I've forgotten 6 or 7 times today what day of the week it was. Today, forgot what day of the week it was. And I had to like stop in place because I was so confused. And I don't know if it's just me not feeling good today, with my head and all, or my eyes, I'm just tired, but literally I had to like stop 4 or 5 times a day because I couldn't remember what day of the week it was, which is a little scary, to be thinking that. And then I forgot what time our show started, John, and we've done what, 173 shows. For some reason, I thought our show started at 5 for a minute, and then I had part of me that thought it started at 6:30. So
for years it started at, for years or months it started at 6:30 for a long time, right?
Yeah.
But here we are.
We are here, and I am here. So we're gonna. Holy cow! Yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight. College football landscape is gonna be changing here soon, within these conferences. I know that Jonathan Birdsong is not a big fan of, that we'll be talking a little in depth about NBA draft. The draft is, hopefully I'm not getting this wrong. The draft is tomorrow, right?
It is tomorrow, Thursday night.
All right. It is tomorrow because I don't know what day of the week it is anymore. Pacers, we got plenty of talk with them. A lot of moving and shaking. We've got the Olympics going on. Right now, that's got their own drama going on with that right now. Other news and notes from the NBA. We've got NFL training camps. Training camps have started. They started up yesterday, so we've got that going on. But we'll hit all that and more here in the next 2 hours. So John, let's dive right in. Let me find my notes. I'm telling you, I'm running craziness today. All right, first thing on the notes today. SEC Conference, John, makes a big ploy. Texas, Oklahoma, both going to the SEC Conference. You know, it's a matter of time for when this is going to happen still.
Right.
But the landscape in college football is changing. We've got Texas, Oklahoma going to the SEC. We've got Iowa State, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. Those three teams have been, or universities have been linked to the Big Ten Conference. Looking at that real quick, if Kansas goes to the Big Ten football, God, that's horrific. It's like Rutgers 2.0 if they go there for football. Basketball, though, would be huge for the Big Ten. But then there's also talk about a super conference of the Pac-12 merging with the Big Ten Conference to keep the tradition in place of a Rose Bowl where you'd have each division's quote-unquote champion playing in the Rose Bowl for their conference championship game. But, John, it's so confusing. We've got four super conferences coming. I feel like the Big 12 is now sending a cease and desist to ESPN and these companies that just went out like hour ago. A cease and desist order. But the pods of four that the SEC is looking to put everybody in right now, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Texas, I think Oklahoma, Texas, SEC are all in this together. They've got a big-ass ESPN contract and the SEC network. That's all more money. John, I know we talk privately. You are not a fan of this movement that's going to be going on, but buddy, I think you need to buckle up because it's coming.
Yeah. So obviously I'm old school. It's crazy, Brandon. NIL, name, image, likeness. This is the after effects of it. My personal opinion. The kids asked. The kids said they want to make money. The school said, "Oh, okay, you want to make money? We're gonna make more money off of you." So instead of having, as we all know, you know what I'm saying, to get Texas ain't played Alabama, I don't think outright for I don't know how many years, and you know what I'm saying, for whatever reason, Texas Longhorns haven't been able to get to a national championship game since Mack Brown was the head coach. Now, how many years ago was that, right? I'm old school in my thought process. I really want to unpack it. You know what I'm saying? We could wait. I don't want to say wait. We could talk about this for the full 2 hours. I just want to make it a segment, you know. But it's just, you know what I'm saying, all this is really just an after effect of name, image, and likeness that the kids are trying to, you know what I'm saying, to put more money in their pockets, you know what I'm saying, legally, not necessarily underneath the table, right? Will it be – so when Texas and Oklahoma go over to the SEC, either if they don't break contract, you know what I'm saying, it's like $150 million apiece if they break their contract with the Big 12 and go like next year, not obviously, but like next year, those schools will have to pay. And I'm sure that's somewhere in the budget or somewhere, some booster's back pocket. And that's probably what they're, you know, saying, you know, thinking about. But be honest with you, Brandon, you know what I'm saying? Everything we've kind of heard, you know what I'm saying, with potentially what the SEC can make, you know what I'm saying, $5 billion or whatever, like, man, it won't necessarily water down the product. But my personal opinion, Brandon, the newness will wear off real fast. And what I mean by real fast in 2 year period. Because let's be honest, let's look at the nuts and bolts of it. People are going to say that, and they have. Not just with you, Brandon. I have off comments with other folks, man. People automatically assume that Alabama just recruits Alabama. People automatically assume Louisiana, LSU recruits that do. No, they got just as many recruits from Texas than Texas does. Be honest with you, you know. So, the way things are set up, and let's think about it, Brandon. You know, the fickleness. Boosters and fans that run Texas, not the AD. You know what I'm saying? Tom Herman and Charlie Strong were great coaches, were good coaches. I won't say great. They were good coaches. And they got fired because they didn't win enough. Right? You know, going to a bowl game for Texas wasn't good enough, and neither of those two guys is errors. So, what does Texas think their fickleness? So what do they think is going to change? You know, with Nick Saban, he ain't going nowhere. The powers that be of LSU, they ain't going nowhere. You know, Florida. I'm talking about the hierarchy, the pecking order that is Georgia, that is the SEC. So Texas thinks that a Texas football program who hasn't won their own Big 12 conference, I get it that they get ratings, and that's what this is kind of all about, realistically, let's be honest with you, that they get ratings, but they ain't won their conference since 2009. They haven't won a Big 12 championship since 2009. When you go look up in Wikipedia, folks, Oklahoma dominates the Big 12, right? Except for, you know, saying time, well, I'm talking about basketball, of course, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about football, but Oklahoma dominates the Big 12. You know what I'm saying? So, changes in the wind, but, this is a big money play, but once the newness goes into, after that newness kind of rubs off, dude, Texas is going to wish that they kept themselves because they want to win. They want to get paid and they want to win too. You know what I mean? Oklahoma does too. I give Oklahoma a better chance of keeping up with the Joneses, the Floridas of the world, the Georgias of the world. They ain't beating Alabama. They're not. They ain't beating LSU. No. Oklahoma? Stop it.
John, let me counter you real quick. Number one, you talk about the record-wise and that, you know, once the newness wears off, here's the thing you're forgetting. That's fans and stuff. But the boosters and the university itself and the officials, that's going to be a money pit. They are going to get so much more money being in this conference than they were from that Big 12. Right, but half of you don't give a shit if you win, as long as you're lining your pockets. And that's officials, not fans. I'm looking at it from the official university side.
So why'd they fire Tom Herman? Because they still got the same amount. They still got money when Tom Herman was.
Because they were losing. They were losing in a shitty conference.
Right. So they're going to a better conference.
But getting paid better.
You know what I'm saying?
But getting paid better.
So they're becoming. They're getting ready to become.
But who's to say that they're gonna? But you're coming in here saying they're gonna go in and shit be 3-9. I mean, let's think about this for a second because. Everybody said the same exact narrative for Texas A&M when they left the Big 12 and went to the SEC. If I remember right, I'm pretty sure Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M beat Nick Saban in Alabama. I just want to throw that out there.
They got a championship?
Nope, but guess what? They competed. And people are saying they can't compete. They're going to get beat by the Alabamas, the LSUs, and everybody. Johnny Manziel and A&M did the same exact thing. They went from, and they still are competing with these teams, went from the Big 12 to the SEC and hung in there and beat these teams, beat Nick Saban in that place. Who's to say Texas and Oklahoma can't, John? I understand your point, but also I don't think you're giving enough credit to these two teams.
How come? Because they haven't shown enough credit to when they get a chance to get in a bowl game against an SEC opponent or against even another Power 5 opponent. They lay an egg. That's just the truth. They are these programs outside of Oklahoma. Again, I give Oklahoma a better chance of running with the second tier of the SEC. I give Oklahoma a chance to of course they get there just as good as Georgia. Of course they are just as good as Florida, but better than Nick Saban, Alabama? Absolutely not. Better than LSU? Absolutely not. Better than potentially. When, like you said, Clemson gets pulled over potentially or Florida State gets pulled over, no, the pecking order goes down. Yes, you got primetime matchup. Yes, ESPN, NBC, whoever, Fox, you know what I'm saying, is going to pay the school X amount of money. But then it goes back to winning. Those programs, oh, my God, Brandon, go look it up.
Nebraska. Right, but are you looking for more of a – I believe these two universities are looking at a win and revenue – for the future, not in the present. Because what I'm thinking, John, is, you know, getting in there, you don't want to be right now you look at the other teams. Ever since this news came out last week, you don't want to be the last one dancing and left out of going to a conference if the Big 12 is going to die like it's going to die.
Hold on. Before you say Big 12 is going to die, Seth Greenberg had a little bit of nugget as well, because basketball ain't just going to go away. Let's not forget that the basketball money also kind of carries a little bit of weight. I'm not saying it carries as much weight as football, but it ain't also nothing we can just sniff our nose and stick our nose up at, right? So Kansas does keep that confidence, and so does Baylor. They just won the national championship, right or wrong, right? So that ain't going all the way. What Seth Greenberg said, and I do respect him, not saying I don't respect your – obviously I respect your opinion as well. But mm-hmm. Seth Greenberg said what will happen is they'll pull the Cincinnati's of the world, the Memphis of the world, back into that conference. Yeah, who gives a crap about Memphis football, or even – I mean, Cincinnati football is a little bit better, right? But at least I think the conference still stays alive.
Is this like – so you would compare this to a Conference USA – old school Conference USA losing it to the American Athletic Conference.
Right.
Where you had Louisville, right. Cincinnati, Marshall, your old Conference USA to breaking out. Okay. So, I mean, the Big 12 needs that to happen. I'm fairly certain they need to, but look at these other prime programs. Oklahoma State's pissed off because Oklahoma's leaving, and how can you do this? And how can you – like, come on. Oklahoma State people are throwing it thick, but – Oklahoma State's got themselves in a great driver's seat. They are going to get themselves an offer from the Big Ten based on their academics, based on their sports success in football and in basketball. I think
but
they're going
to come in. Right. So look at the data. Am I coming to be your Ohio State and Michigan lap dog? Like Rutgers is? Sorry if anybody from Rutgers is listening. That's what
No, I think Oklahoma State would be middle of the top. They're in the top 25 every year in football.
Are you?
They just got the number one pick in basketball, allegedly.
In basketball. Stop it. You saying Juwan Howard would lose a game to Oklahoma State without
yeah.
Kay? I'm talking about Kay Cunningham. Stop it. You don't believe that. You think Izzo would lose to Oklahoma State? Stop it.
John, have you not looked at Oklahoma State over the years?
Have you not looked at – okay, let's get back to the topic. Nebraska. Nebraska, dominant in Big 12 play. Got fooled to come over to the Big Ten. And you said on episode 158, maybe it was 153, they need to go back to the Big 12.
Yes, right.
They need to go, but it is important. It's all the super crime. So, yeah. So now I'm going to tell a kid, you know, it's already, you know, we already know the difference between, the MACtion and those particular leagues that, you know what I'm saying, that are AA Division I, right? We understand that. So, but now you're telling me I'm at the University of Missouri, and that's the middle of the road program in both sports, right, in basketball and football. You telling me, and they will, because the chancellors is going to be looking at all the money they're going to get in, but now the mm-hmm. kid is going to be looking like, I'm supposed to go there to get my head kicked in, to be middle of the road?
But that's just like going to a freaking high school. I mean, not all the best players always go to the best high schools, you know? Here's my thing.
Well,
Nick Saban's on the back nine of his career, is he not?
He's going to win two more champions. He's got potential.
Okay.
He's got five.
Okay, so if you're Oklahoma or Texas, can you put up with that four years, put up with that, but at least you're getting the revenue in. That way you're getting the SEC recruits. I think another thing we're not talking about, and I don't think it's just us, I think it's nationally they're not talking about, is the number of recruits. Obviously, all the top recruits seem, quote-unquote, to be going to the SEC, to where Texas and Oklahoma want their name attached to the SEC to say, hey, now we can go out maybe and get some of those players that left us because the SEC conference is so much higher up in prestige than the Big 12. Maybe
sure.
That's another thought.
And Mack Brown got fired because Andrew Luck went to Stanford. Brandon, I know you do your due diligence on this, man. I have too, man. Again, like, they all recruit the same guys. Ohio State, Michigan. It's especially personal preference. Can you get me to the NFL? Nick Saban has shown that he can get you to the NFL. Can you get to me to the NFL? Dabo Sweeney up in Clemson has shown that I can get you to the NFL. He's put in two quarterbacks. I know Deshaun Watson. I know you ain't supposed to talk about that. But, yes, he's number one overall. So was Sunshine this past year. can you get me and what can you put me, place me in the NFL? LSU has done that better as well. The third-string quarterback on the Colts right now is from Texas. That's, you know what I'm saying? So, again, I'm not saying Texas got linemen for sure in the NFL, but they have not been able to get to the big-time championship games. The boosters are more – I'm telling you this right now, Brandon, and anybody listening. The boosters are more of a problem than anything they got going on outside of facilities and outside coaching right now. Tom Herman is coaching, the assistant coach right now with the Chicago Bears. He's probably just waiting for a job to open up in college or potentially even in the NFL. Charlie Strong, I think he works for the Jaguars. He might not go back to college. But again, all these guys had small time programs. They got the big time program, and because the politics that run in Texas, and if you don't win, it ain't good enough, they'll fire you. So Sarkisian is probably this is his first year. He won't be graded that hard. But year two, year three, dude, he'll be on the shock. He'll be on the shocker smart clock.
I think Sark will be fine. He's been in the SEC for a couple years now, and we talked about this off the air. Scott Frost was not involved in the Big Ten whatsoever, and that style of football came and smacked him in the face, and we're still seeing that. But I think Sark will be fine taking Texas in the SEC conference. He's already had that type of offense. He's an offensive coordinator, number one team in the country. You don't think he can put that into Texas? Now, I know the quality of players may not be as high as what Alabama was, but I think they'll be fine in the conference. I really do.
Remember, Alabama's second string is as good as Texas's first string. And when Nick Saban does retire, do they go get Sark? Because Alabama got deep pockets, too.
No, they got our buddy.
Before you think they go get Lane Train, they'll go get Dabo Swinney before they get Lane Kiffin. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, probably, because Lane I just want Lane to go there. I'm a Lane Train guy.
It's going to happen. If they break contract, that $300 million goes to the Big 12, they'll find a way to recruit, to pull some other team back. I don't really have a problem. When you say merger with the Pac-12, it sounds really more like an agreement more than anything. You know what I mean? Again, whoever these Big Ten commissioners and presidents and provosts, and they ain't ready just to make their lose their job. You know what I'm saying? On a corporate merger, you know how things go. Corporate merger,
right? Well, from what I've heard is they would move them all to it'd be like a mini board of directors between both conferences put together.
Yeah, you're still gonna have a piss contest because who gets what? Who's to say this guy's supposed to be the head of the table and now I'm at the right hand of the father? You know what I'm saying? Again, it sounds great. The newness whatever it happens, I hope it happens before 2025, so I can be like, hey, I told you so. Because I remember the dominance. And you can look up on Wikipedia. You can look it up on Nebraska's homepage of how many Big 12 championships they have, and then they go to. How many bands they have, and then they go to, or not even as championships, and then they go to the Big Ten, like one division title that they won in 2012. They didn't, you know what I'm saying? So, once proud program. So, the Pac-12 needs to do something. What's weird, Brandon, is that if it wasn't USC, like nobody, like it's weird, Brandon, like the TV people say, it's not about if you're the best team. It's about if you can draw the most viewership. So, you know, you never really know if a two-loss Pac-12 team could they really beat Georgia. We'll never know because they won't put them in there because they say, well, they're a poor draw. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. But something needs to happen. So where the Big Ten and Pac-12 kind of create a – you know what I'm saying, create an event, you know what I'm saying, to where their brand of football is as significant as what the SEC is doing. I'm for it from a things changing type of standpoint. You know what I'm saying, here locally at home or South Bend, you know what I'm saying, I think the Notre Dame folks to stay independent. And they might latch up with a conference, I don't think they even snooze. I don't even think they even bother with the Catholics, you know, are very, very arrogant. I don't even think they even think about doing anything, any type of business with the SEC. But I think they might do some business if things go differently, where Miami and Florida State and maybe potential Clemson join the SEC. But again, that's crazy.
Right.
How are you going to have a daggone 25 team conference?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And here's the thing. There, it was tweeted out, you know, heard from several people that the Big Ten, rumored Big Ten would only be interested in adding schools from the AAU. Nebraska is no longer in the AAU, but it was when it joined the league. Texas, along with Pac-12 schools like Cal, Washington, Colorado, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Stanford are in the AAU. Oklahoma is not. So there's your merger to where the Big Ten championship game, which is, this is where it even gets weird. I don't know what the hell you'd call a conference even, between the Big Ten and the Pac-12, but that championship game, because you'd have two divisions, obviously, which is crazy
right.
enough, would be the Rose Bowl game. It would be played out in Pasadena. But there's just so much uncertainty with this. Like, who do you go out and get? Who don't you go out and get? You look at the SC, the Pac-12, John. I just heard the Pac-12 commissioner, and I put it on Twitter, and I got ended up getting like 50, 60 different likes from different people. The fact is, I said, this is why the Pac-12 is a failure for what it is, because the commission out there has the most screwed up TV contract in the history of TV contracts for a sports
yep.
conference.
Yep.
They don't market their players and their teams as well as they should. You've got the problem where now they're like, well, we don't need expansion. We're not looking at, are you kidding me? Are you going to be, or do you really want to be left out in the dust? Because once this Big 12 sort of crumbles, and I know we've talked about it and it's not really a crumble, but I mean, you're looking at teams like TCU, Baylor and Texas Tech that have already reached out to the Pac-12 to say, hey, you, if this crumbles, are you want to take us? And right now the Pac-12 says, well, we're not thinking expansion. If you don't think Kevin White and the Big Ten is thinking expansion, if you don't think the SEC continues to think expansion, that the ACC doesn't think expansion, Pac-12, what are you doing? Like, this is what's wrong with the Pac-12 to begin with. And that's why we always called it, you still, you know, jokingly, obviously call it the
Pac-10.
because if they're asleep at the wheel. And the fact that I read that they're not interested right now in looking at expansion, they're living too much more in the moment and not looking long-term with it. And that's what seems like the Pac-12's problem has been year after year after year.
Right. Even in basketball, if you think about
yeah.
it. Yeah. They just got to find a creative way. Shame on, you know what, Brandon, when I want to go back to Notre Dame, please. Like,
yeah.
Notre Dame really needs to start playing Michigan back. That helps. That actually does help the Big Ten. You know what I'm saying? It's a game that everybody kind of gets cold feet around. You know what I mean? That kind of helps. That does kind of help Michigan and the Big Ten cause. Or you know what I'm saying, a Big Ten team other than a middle-of-the-pack-of-the-road team. I get that the Notre Dame formula of always trying to be in the mix of that, you know what I'm saying, of the playoff. Right now we're in a 14 playoff, and it's going to expand right to 12. But we can't be tiptoeing. And I know that this SEC thing keeps teams from tiptoeing, because now you're saying everybody's in one conference, right? But I do like conference integrity, right? But that, like I said, Notre Dame can't tiptoe. And tiptoed around. I know it might be back on the books now, but I know for like the last couple of years, you know what I'm saying, Michigan and Notre Dame, that used to be a game. That used to be a big-time game.
Let me tell you this.
Brandon, go ahead.
You talk about big-time games. Wouldn't you much rather, and you're going to see this in the SEC conference here coming up, but wouldn't you much rather see like a Alabama versus a Oklahoma or of Alabama versus a Texas on a week 4 or week 5 matchup than Alabama versus Louisiana Monroe? Like, if we truly, like,
everybody, here's my thing,
Division 2 teams and low-key Division 1 teams, they get great money, and it's going to suck for them because they're not going to get that money based off of team all these teams in these conferences, that there's not
right.
going to be a conference schedule.
I don't like cupcake schedules per se, not unless you're going to do a home and home, because quite honestly, man, sometimes most teams don't like to play teams they know they're going to beat them, or teams that could potentially beat them. You know what I mean? I don't know, Brandon. It's going to be a we'll see. And like I said, once my formula, once I tell people, man, that Texas ain't ready for SEC play, you know what I'm saying, they'll be crying to go back to the way things were. Yes, there'll be fat line pockets and whatnot, but they like I said, they like to win. They're crazy down in Texas. They like to win.
Let me give you
a thing about if we get the right guy, well, like, damn, how many coaches you got to fire before you get the right guy?
Right. Let me give you a little proposal I saw online for a week one Big Ten Pac-12 challenge with these teams merged together. It's just kind of obviously an example somebody gave, but I kind of like it. Thursday night, September 1st, week one, you've got Washington going against Minnesota Golden Gophers, going up there, taking on them. You'd have the Indiana Hoosiers traveling. Somebody has it at Utah on a Thursday night at 8:30. UCLA at Michigan on a Friday night, 7 o'clock on Fox. Two big names no one actually gives a competitive shit about anymore. But seeing these two teams play each other would be great. Arizona State at Penn State, Herm and the Sun Devils taking on going to Happy Valley. And then that's all on Friday night. Okay, you had three different games on Friday. Then Saturday, you've got the Oregon Ducks be going to Wisconsin to take on the Badgers. Cal and Illinois, Stanford and Northwestern could be a good game. Here's your favorite, John. Nebraska against Colorado. Bring back that old-fashioned Big 12 rivalry right there. Purdue going to Oregon State. Maryland at Arizona. And then your nightcaps at 7 o'clock on that Saturday night, September 3rd. You get the Ohio State Buckeyes going to USC to take on the Trojans. You've got Michigan State against Washington State. And Rutgers at Hawaii. And that's just like a week one of conference play. Mm-hmm. I see. I think it looks beautiful. I know you're so old-fashioned. I'm old-fashioned too, John, but I've learned to kind of develop and change a little bit, and I can see I'm just seeing great games every week compared to some of these cup weeks where you're beating a team 73-5 or 6 or whatever the hell you want to call it. And I'm like, I'd rather turn on the tube and watch a complete slate of great games.
Right or wrong, Brandon. That's how, if you're smart enough, that's how you kind of build up your program. Think about where Kentucky was 15. Think about, I'm not saying Kentucky can beat LSU. I'm not saying that. But think about Kentucky, where they were football. Think about where Kentucky football was at 10, 15 years ago. And think about where Kentucky football is at now. And how a Purdue, not calling anybody out down there in West Lafayette, but how a Purdue wouldn't schedule them for a home game, for a home-and-home series. They wouldn't, you know what I mean? Not for like, you know, say, or what am I saying? Purdue, I won't pick on them. Shit, Michigan, Notre Dame, Kentucky's potentially dangerous like that. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
I kind of wonder though, how this. So again, man, I kind of see why Coach K, from a basketball step, I see why he kind of left, man. Everybody thought it was because of NIL, name, image, and likeness, man. I think this is also about some of this too, because some of this is going to spill into basketball. It just is.
Yeah, and I'm fine with West Virginia leaving, going back to the ACC, because you get the backyard brawl back with Pittsburgh again. You renew some of these old rivalries that West Virginia had, which didn't make sense them being in the Big 12 to begin with.
I wonder, I didn't look at before the show, I didn't look it up and see what was the numbers. How did it help the Big Ten or hurt the Big Ten potentially? I'm not going to pick on Nebraska no more, but how did it help having Rutgers and Maryland into the Big Ten in football and basketball? Basketball,
I mean, exposure to the East Coast? How do you put a number on that, you know?
I'm sure they got some analytics around it. But,
right.
Like, it hasn't been, other than becoming a door stomp, you know what I'm saying, for a step for maybe Illinois on a, you know what I'm saying, my guy who's coach, he ain't coaching anymore. But like Rutgers never really served a purpose. You know what I mean? Guys, kids just ain't running from New York. Oh man, let me go to IU. Oh man, let me run to Purdue. Let me go to Ohio State. That's not what's happening. You know?
No, but I did see a thing that Rutgers in Maryland, the money that they're getting for being in the Big Ten Conference, surprisingly, John, it was a hell of a lot more than what they were getting being in their other respective conferences, the Big East and the ACC.
I will say this, man. When Maryland, anytime Maryland won the ACC outright in basketball, I'm not gonna say football. Every time they won an ACC outright, it always seemed like they were the fourth stepchild to Duke, North Carolina, and you pick a team. They always feel like the fourth stepchild. They didn't get the love, you know what I'm saying? And they have some, I mean, I know I'm going off on a different tangent. They have some great teams, but they always feel like the fourth stepchild.
2001 national champ.
Yeah, I think it's a little right. Shame on James, Jared Jeffries.
Oh man, but John, this is interesting. ESPN. Let's think about them. This juggernaut of a sports organization there is. Well, first of all, before I say that. ESPN's getting cease and desist letter, I said a little bit ago, cease and desist from the Big 12 Conference. I've got the article or the letter right here. It's come to my attention, direct attention, ESPN, the current business partner of the Big 12, has been taking certain actions to intend not only harm the Big 12 Conference, but result in financial benefits for ESPN. So they've offered him a cease and desist to not take bad things about the Big 12. All actions that may harm its conference and its members that are not communicated within the Big 12 conference, existing members, or any other NCAA conference regarding the Big 12 conference members, possible conference alignment, or potential financial incentives. So stop is what they're saying. But here's what ESPN's doing, John, other people don't know. ESPN now owns the ACC network. Some of the Big Ten, not obviously some of the Big Ten packaging they own. The SEC, obviously, they own the SEC network and all that.
Yep.
They own part of the Pac-12. John, they now own college football completely, along with the entire college football playoff. That's what it's driven from, ESPN.
Right. I know. When I looked at it and found out that Fox Sports only shows X amount of games and NBC only shows X amount of games, it's all ESPN. So it's almost a legalized monopoly. Okay, I really don't blame the Pac. I mean, so the Big 12 from doing a cease and desist type of situation, because you know they can make content out of anything. Let a Big 12 team have a bad weekend where they didn't blow out somebody by 20 or whatever on one of their cupcakes, and then ESPN will have somebody script write. Well, oh my God, you know what I'm saying? And it'll be a whole big thing. So I don't really blame. I wouldn't be surprised, Brandon, if there's more litigation kind of come forward. Like how much was this love affair, you know what I'm saying, that they're trying to woo Texas and, you know what I'm saying, over, that was kind of, you know what I'm saying, done through the lenses of ESPN.
Right.
You know, I listen to the, you know, I sparingly, that's just true. I listen to the, you know, the worldwide leader in sports very sparingly on anything nowadays because there's a lot of hype. And like Brandon, that's what I kind of, you know what I'm saying, this is what this is, a lot of hype. So we shall see.
My head hurts from it, I'll tell you that. I've spent the last week watching and reading everything. My head hurts from it all.
Without a doubt.
So we got our buddy on here, Fred Feldner, KFAP Connection. What's going on, Fred?
What up, though? How's it going? I'm at my neighborhood Whole Foods right now.
Ooh, nice.
Listening to my favorite sports show. So.
Oh, we're talking realignment.
well,
like everybody
it's
else.
That or Aaron, it's either that or Aaron Rodgers, it seems. Like that's the only thing anybody's talking about.
Yeah, my apologies for that on Aaron Rodgers. You got to deal with him another year at least.
It's whatever. I'm used to it as a Lions fan. I'm used to it. But it'll never go away. Green Bay, outside of Green Bay, that's one of the NFL's darlings. So, you know, as long as he's in the league, it's going to be on, speaking of ESPN, either him or Brady. So they're apparently the only two quarterbacks in the league. So
Exactly. Fred, I got to ask you, what was your thoughts last week? AEW, when they announced, God, why is his name slipping me right this second? The match for tonight with Jericho. God, why is his name slipping me? Come on.
You're talking about Nick Mother Effing Gage.
Yes.
Hardcore.
What was your thoughts when that happened?
Himself. Oh, I freaked out. I thought it was I wasn't expecting it. Like they actually surprised me. You know, there weren't any dirt sheet things, you know, rumors, anything like that suggesting that Nick Gage was coming. And beyond that, there was that big match that went down this weekend between Matt Cardona, formerly known as Zack Ryder, taking on Nick Gage. If either of you have not watched that match, I will bless you with the YouTube link so you guys can watch. Because it was incredible. It was so much, that match was so much fun. I'm not going to spoil anything if you haven't seen spoilers. I'm just going to say go watch that match because it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, with that happening, I had no idea he was coming. But, I mean, I think he's probably signing with him. So that's a huge get. That's probably the biggest star on the indies, I would say it, you know, as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest star on the indies that maybe some casuals look and go, who's this ugly dude with the bandana coming out? Like, who's this guy? That is a hardcore legend. If you like Terry Funk, you're going to like Nick Gage.
Where do you think they go tonight with that matchup? Because you got to make both guys look strong still, I feel like, right?
So I thought about that. I tossed the idea around, and honestly, the thing that makes sense, if you've noticed, what match did Jon Moxley have last week where he lost to Lance Archer? A death match.
Right.
A death match, yep.
Lance Archer's got a U.S. IWGP title to defend. Moxley kind of is idle right now. He doesn't really have an opponent for All Out. I think that Moxley's going to crash that match, and because they've been having a feud in the indies where, like, Jon Moxley will show up to these GCW shows, Game Changer Wrestling, basically the biggest indie in America, especially during COVID, because they were, like, one of the only indie promotions running. They've actually come to Indianapolis a few times. So they've been having feuds where, you know, Moxley will do a run-in, Nick Gage will do a run-in. Like, they'll just have these little indie run-ins. So they've been telling that story on the indies, so I think it's going to come onto the masses tonight. I think it's going to pay off, and people are going to see that match at All Out, and that'll be one for the ages.
Okay. John?
It's no secret. It's about just like Texas and Oklahoma. Daniel Bryan and our guy, CM Punk, are coming over. Your thoughts, real quick.
I'm excited. I mean, who wouldn't be? If you're a wrestling fan, you got to be excited for it. And I think the biggest thing about it is just seeing fresh matches and fresh opponents for these guys and telling stories that you've always wanted to see told. I mean, obviously the easy choice is Omega, you know, taking on Punk or maybe even Daniel Bryan. But at this point, I think just the fact that they're there is enough. Like, they can just show up. They don't really even need a feud. They can just show up and talk. That's it. Like,
right.
So it's,
well,
the excitement will be them coming first. Then
right.
We'll worry about opponents. Yeah.
I hope they work, and we're not just dealing with. I'm not getting really pissed on the legacy of Kevin Nash and Scott Hall because that was a big time moment when they first kind of when they came over, but they got lazy as the years went by. But I don't necessarily see that. I don't necessarily foresee that out of CM Punk. You know what I mean?
Right.
I expect him to kind of go a little pipe bombish. Maybe when he makes his debut or a little bit of time afterwards, man. That might also give Jericho some time off or some other wrestlers that's been kind of, you know what I'm saying, going through the meat grinder, some time off, getting a little screen time off. And I hopefully it pushes you know, some of the other young guys, you know what I'm saying, the FTRs of the world and MJF, if they ever, you know, intertangle the storyline, pushes them to be there a little bit better.
Oh, and that's a great point. I didn't even think of, to be honest with you, is that point. Like, a guy like Jericho can take a back seat now and let these guys come in. He doesn't have to be the face of AW anymore. Inner Circle has kind of run its course as far
yep.
as Jericho goes, so maybe they get a new leader and Jericho takes the back seat for a while. I think
right.
Jericho's a great presence to keep on the show for, like, commentary especially. He's hilarious. And he's a great ambassador for wrestling, but in-ring, like, this is really going to be the time to shine for the elite guys, for the up-and-comers like Darby, Jungle Boy, those guys, and then, you know, the new acquisitions and stuff. So sky's the limit for this company right now, but not if, but when they make the Rise and Fall 5-disc WWE set, the Rise and Fall of WWE,
man,
when they make that 5-disc set, this is going to be on like disc four at towards the tail end. Like,
at least give it 10 discs.
Oh man, I honestly think this. I'm not saying they're going to put them on a bit. That's ridiculous. But this right here, the moment that those two show up, this is the turning point. And I know Bird was alluding to like the Nash and Paul stuff. That was kind of the turning point for Nitro to overtake WWE.
Yep.
You're really going to start seeing, I mean, this first company is already on the up and up on in every metric. They're outselling them in New York, which WWE has owned New York since Vince McMahon Sr. They're now, the metrics are better in their home area. So it's like, change is gradual. It's not going to be this overnight thing where you're just going to see WWE bankrupt, you know, but there this is a really deep time for like competition and like the pendulum kind of swinging a bit, especially the way that WWE has been booking things, you know, giving you Goldberg that nobody asked for. And, you know, with Cena and Reigns, it's like these are two guys that their quote unquote universe have booed mercilessly for the last 25 years. These are the most hated good guys of all time in that company's history. That's the match that everybody's getting excited about for SummerSlam. Then what? You know, Reigns, the head of the table, then what? It's like there really isn't any sort of, like, outlook as to, like, where they're kind of lost as a company right now. If you really sit down and look at it, it's like, what's the vision? Like, where do they go from here? You know, so it's like this is the perfect time for a new company to capitalize on a very stale, stagnant, unenthusiastic product. It's like, it's not exciting. It's just not. And you got another company that's taking up all the media and taking up all the guys that can be utilized that the fans want to see. And you're going to see a lot of change in the pendulum as far as like who's the most exciting brand. It's going to start changing. So buckle up for the fall, like, and for Mania season, like, buckle up because it's going to start getting crazier and crazier.
Yeah. Last thing wrestling-wise, Brad, I forgot to mention to you. A couple nights ago, for some reason, I had a dream that you were involved in, and you came off of the radio show with us, and the next thing you know, you popped out on New Japan Pro Wrestling with the Headbangers, and you were part of their faction.
Oh, man. I mean,
so,
I got to come up with a name.
How the hell did I come up with the Headbangers in my dream? I have no clue. But
I mean, I'm metal AF. You know, we'll keep it clean for Crossroads. But you know, I am metal AF. So,
what else you got, John?
That's probably a reason why.
I gotta ask Fred. The grand coordination starts tomorrow with the NBA draft. Man, Detroit has this, you know. Deals have been thrown at them between Houston and Oklahoma, and they said nope, we're sticking with our guy. So, you know, I don't necessarily know. I probably want to be up for all of the draft. I'll probably just be there for the first half for sure. So tomorrow, who does the Detroit Pistons pick?
Cade Cunningham. That's it. There's no belabored thought about it. There's no hype beast, ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski report, like, I don't care. It's all smoke and mirrors. If this were the Lakers, people would already be having the Instagram post with Cade Cunningham in a Laker jersey. But it's Detroit, so, you know, we got to, like, not be respectful towards them. We got to, like, pipe in different smoke and mirror rumors to, you know, make them look like dumb-dumbs. Like, it's so dumb. Like, it's just a lot of noise right now. And that's all it is.
Yes.
It doesn't mean anything. Yes. They're picking Cade Cunningham with the number one pick tomorrow, and he will be a Detroit Piston, and he will make an immediate impact on that Pistons team. So that's it. There's no sexy, you know, salacious sort of response for me. Like, it's Cade Cunningham, as it always was. It's Cade Cunningham becoming a Detroit Piston tomorrow night. So.
Future's bright, I do believe.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Fred. Appreciate it, my guy. Tune in tonight. We'll see what happens on AEW. Should be a great one.
Yeah, real quick, last thing, guys, just a rapid response. The rumors with the Pacer talk. Malcolm Brogdon for Lonzo Ball. What do you guys say about that one?
I think I forgot to respond to that. I sent you, man. and forgive me, anything I sent you on Instagram, if it was offensive to you. Oh my God, Brandon, I have to tell you off the show about, you know, some of the things you find on Instagram that I share with Fred. Oh my goodness, but to answer your question, Fred laughs. I wouldn't be opposed to it, just because I think from a media standpoint and from, like, maybe kind of been snuck out of the locker room about Malcolm Brogdon, hasn't been in his favor, you know what I'm saying, in any way other than he does do some great community work in the off season. But we're talking about wins and losses. Not a great shooter, so you're subbing in a great shooter. You're subbing in a good score from a – probably one of the better all-around point guards, though. I definitely want to give Lonzo that credit. But I don't think the Pacers do it. I don't think the Pacers do it. I would be game for it, but I don't think the Pacers do it. I have never had nothing bad said about Lonzo other than his father's nuts.
He's a good dad, though. Can't take that away.
He's a good dad. He loves his son. He loves his son, but like his father's a little crazy with some of his sports takes for sure. But like Lonzo, the basketball player, one of the better overall point guards, great defensively, can pass, rebounds probably better than Miles Turner, to be honest with you. But scoring wise, he can struggle just a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Miles Turner having some suitors and stuff. A couple teams are looking at
Brandon, Brandon, to fill in the blanks on that. Brandon, go ahead. Lose your mind.
Okay, I've got a few on this. There's been obviously the Hornets and Pelicans both have been interested in Miles Turner for a possible trade. The latest I sent to John, I about lost my damn mind about. There's rumblings of a three-team deal between the Rockets, Pacers, and Hornets that would involve Turner, Eric Gordon, and a handful of draft picks in the draft tomorrow. No official deal is in place as of right this minute. I don't want anything to do with Eric Gordon for the last 10 years. And the guy's probably been in the league probably, 9 years. So,
I mean, shout out to North Central High School, you know.
There's also been talks, and I think I sent it to you, John. There's talks about Indiana wanting to move down in the draft, which doesn't make sense to me either, if they want to move down in it. They did turn down that trade for the Lakers for number 13, the 13th pick, and Lamb for Kuzma in the 24th. Thank God we said no to that as well. You know, Kuzma's okay.
Yeah.
I think he's – but I don't know if I'm going to give up the 13th for that.
No,
I'll give up Lamb
streaky,
for sure.
Yeah, he's just a streaky player. Like, he'll drop 40, you know, one of the 3 months of the season, and then the other 2 months he's like, you know, 3 for 19, and, you know. So, I mean, that's the same thing with, like, Dennis Schrader. Like, I guess the Bulls are trying to throw, like, the Brinks truck at Dennis. Like, why? Like, bro,
right.
Just pay off my student loans, and I'll go out there with a blown ACL right now and hit more threes than that guy will. And just all you got to do is just pay my student loans. If you're going to throw like $150 million out the window, like just pay for my student loans. I'll go out. I'm good for about eight. I'll get you 8 points, you know. I'm good defensively too. You know.
Shout out to Fannie Mae.
Yeah, I do like, though, I will tell you, Fred, I do like the fact that the Pacers game is getting mentioned a lot. That means that we're kind of doing our due diligence here to see what we can do. Now, the only way, Fred, and you can message me tomorrow because I'll be driving back from my golf league tomorrow night when the draft's going on. The only way we can screw this up is if we draft Jonathan's boy, Corey Kispert.
That ain't my guy.
Now, that's what we'll screw up.
That ain't my guy. Don't put that on me.
That is your guy.
You know, this is a shooter's league now, and I honestly think for teams that need a young shooter, that he's their guy. You know, it's not like this guy's going to be a perennial all-star or anything by any stretch, but, you know, you look at a guy like Duncan Robinson, go blue. This guy became like the Ray Allen of of this era. Like, no joke, this dude is just lights out, setting all kinds of records from three, like, So, and he was, you know, a good player at Michigan, but it's not like he's one of the best players that came out of Ann Arbor in the last decade. But he goes to the league, and it's a shooter's league. He's just a pure shooter. So I think that kid's going to be great for a team that really needs, you know, a good shooter. Hey, the Sixers could use them. You know, their stars can't shoot worth a lick, so maybe they can use them. Shots fired. Trust the process.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I just had to get your quick takes on a couple of those trade night rumors. So,
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see how they do. And we'll see. You know, and we're going to talk about it here shortly when we go to our NBA segment, but, you know, they're looking to trade Aaron Holiday, and I'm fine with trading Aaron Holiday as well. I think his time has ran its course here in Indiana. The Sixers are looking for him. Hell, see what we can get. We got two draft picks in the second. We got three draft picks overall, two in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we can do. I mean, Carlisle can't be completely satisfied with this roster.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
We'll
see.
It'll
be interesting. Yeah, they're not just the Pacers. I think there's going to be several teams that are going to be looking totally different tomorrow.
And I heard
we're going to see some trades.
Yeah, and I heard some dumbass on the JMV show today. We love JMV. Love JMV. But I heard some dumbass that says, well, I saw it on Twitter from this guy that's not verified that the Warriors wanted to trade the both draft picks and Andrew Weissman for Miles Turner. Now, how big of a dumbass do you have to be as a Golden State Warriors to trade both of your first-round draft picks and Weissman for Miles Turner? Come on now.
I heard the same thing, man. I guess that's a good impersonation of that caller, but yeah, that was.
Thank you.
That's not going to happen.
I'm glad you heard it as well, because I said, what the hell?
Dude, maybe he saw that on the NBA 2K general manager. Maybe he was doing the My 2K trade or something.
Well, Detroit, stand up tomorrow night. It's time. We're going to crown that guy. Kay Cunningham, get the jerseys printed, get them passed out. And we'll see what happens.
New era.
So.
Yeah.
All right, Fred. Thank you for calling, buddy.
I'm on a detox diet, so I can't have Coney dogs to celebrate tomorrow. But you bet your ass, next week I'm having a couple Coney dogs for Cade Cunningham in the city of Detroit. So I'm out. Thanks, fellas.
Beautiful. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Fred Feldman.
All right.
Hey, connection. Thanks, bud.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, John. Well, we're already talking. Let me do a quick ad read, John, and then we'll dive right into our NBA segment. God, we almost spent 45 minutes just on the college football realignment.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born. Specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks. They offer pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. John, they carry all the top brands, custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting you can put around your vehicle, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and much, much more. Check them out, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-SHOP-MAV or MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. All right, we are back. NBA, John, let me see. Where's my, I think I got an NBA on Soundry up. Here we go. Tonight, the NBA, no, just kidding. NBA draft tomorrow night. We're looking forward to it. It is tomorrow night, right? I'm still confused.
It is tomorrow.
That's why I'm telling you, man, my brain is so foggy right now for some reason. But NBA draft tomorrow. The Indiana Pacers, there's been several mock drafts, and I like the fact that it's not been settled on one complete person the entire time, John. I like the fact that there's several names that have been rumored for the Indiana Pacers. Corey Kispert, is it sexy? Is it a sexy pick, John? I don't think so. It's not sexy. I like Davion Mitchell from Baylor. I think that's going to be a good – I think that would be a great player for Indiana. He probably doesn't have the stretch perimeter game that we're really looking for with our team. Right. But then also the latest that I see, and we're up on the Facebook live screen right now, is Durante from Oregon. Durante, I think I say his name, from Oregon. Averages 17 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists. The guy can shoot from 3. Looking at some of his strength, 3-point shooting, shot creation, transition play, his cutting, his pick and roll play. You look at those strengths, John, those are all things that the Indiana Pacers offense is kind of built around, or at least in the past it has been. I can see Carlisle going out and getting – now, is this a sexy name? Probably not, from Oregon. But we talked off air, and you said it's kind of a stretch a little bit to be getting him that high. But there's also a lot of teams that kind of are looking that way. The New York Knicks possibly want to trade up for him. Teams are trying to trade up and be able to get him. If Indiana's really looking to move down, maybe we can get some more assets from some of these teams that are trying to trade up and get to get our guy Durante here.
Yeah. Just a real stretch for me at pick 13. I have yet to fill out the rest of the bottom half of the draft. Shame on me. That's a shame on me. And I know it's press time tomorrow, but I will have the bottom half of the draft going further. The Pacers should be looking at Mitchell from Baylor. They should be looking at even if Book Knight kind of slides, I don't think he slides past 11 or 10 or 10 or 11. But a guy like that, versatile guards, I would say Book Knight's probably a little bit more. Book Knight probably play more shooting guard. Yeah, shooting guard than he does point guard. But he can play both. Where Mitchell is prototypical point guard that will get down in a defensive stance. Maybe not as great from three, but he does bring a whole lot of energy. And off the, you know what I'm saying, which would technically probably be off the bench until he may potentially even started into the starting lineup. That potential deal would probably hinge upon if they could find a different home for Aaron Holiday. Like you said in the segment before, he's probably done his term here, his time is done. I told you off air that he should probably try to find a way to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? He excelled in underneath. Coach Nate McMillan in his system when he was with us, you know what I'm saying, when he was coaching the Pacers. So why not try to, you know what I'm saying, and that's what Atlanta needs. Atlanta needs another point guard that can, you know what I'm saying, that when Trey gets into foul trouble, when Trey gets into, you know what I'm saying, wants to take a breather, that somebody can run the system for him. Because they're not going to resign. I don't think they're not going to resign Chicken Wings at all. So again, they're going to need.
Shout out Lou Williams.
Child Lewis, they're going to need some help in the backcourt. So if they can make a deal to move that particular piece, it makes sense for Mitchell to be a Pacer at pick 13. I don't think they Mitchell can probably go anywhere between if rumors are to be believed right now. I think we're way past rumor stage. There was a trade made between New Orleans and Memphis this week, basically to kind of free up cap space to offer Lonzo Ball to stay. Because at some point, New Orleans has to try to keep, I didn't say all-star players, but star players with name recognition in their city, in their, you know, saying in with their team. So if they do lose, I'm talking about New Orleans now. If they do lose, potentially Zion Williamson in a couple of years, you still have, you know what I'm saying, you still can show, yo, we got one of the better point guards. He's probably top 20 in the plus minus and statistical ratings, you know what I'm saying, Lonzo Ball is. So that move was kind of, you know what I'm saying, made to free up money for him to re-sign. So so there's going to be some moves. Like Fred from the KFA Finesse said, there's going to be moves kind of be made all throughout with various teams, man, just so they can make it competitive, just so they can remain name recognition, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, you want to get – the more you're on TV, the more TV revenue you get, and the more you can pay your players, and the more you can maybe woo a big time, big name player. What most teams are kind of looking for that vet that'll come in and play and then show your young team how to win, just like Chris Paul did with the Phoenix Suns. I know it came up short, but again,
right.
You know, who's to say that team doesn't get there? I know I had an argument with certain coaching friends of mine that who called Chris Paul a loser, and I'm like, dude, you gotta. I know he didn't win, but they don't get there without him. But and then that young core doesn't get there without with a vet, and that's kind of like how you want to balance your team out. So I don't know. So to answer your point, I hope Mitchell kind of falls to us. I don't foresee him going to the Kings at all. They've got point guards galore in Aaron Fox and the kid they just drafted from Iowa State. And I don't foresee him going to Golden State either, at pick seven. That would be kind of a stretch for him at pick seven.
Right.
So, again, he should drop to the Pacers. And if the Pacers have the opportunity to draft him, they should. They're not going to – if Miles Turner is out of here, I guarantee you Malcolm Brogdon's out of here too, probably potentially in a package. And then who knows
right.
what that means. If you're talking about this, you're talking about those two particular players going away. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't mess with dudes. When people say trade down, unless the Knicks really want, this kid Durante, to pick 13, and you still think you can get.
They know it's not Kevin Durant, right? The Knicks know that.
Right. We know that. And the Pacers think they can get their guy with those picks, because the Knicks do have two picks in the first round. Then I say, yeah, but the NBA draft and NFL draft is different. So because you have an NFL draft, it's great. I'm not going to say, you can't replenish the kitty if you have a whole lot of draft picks. But, again, you're talking about bringing two 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids into your program. And I just told you, you need some veterans on your squad too. So I'd be kind of opposed to trading down to bring in even more younger players.
So right now, DraftKings Sportsbook – how they're right a lot of the time with everything. Right now, their mock draft based on odds right now has Cade Cunningham number one, Jalen Green at two, Evan Mobley at three, Jalen Suggs at four, Scotty Barnes at five, James Bouknight at six, Franz Wagner at seven, which I do not want him to go to Indiana. Please do not. But I think that – and we talked off air, I think, about Wagner that's a stretch.
It's a toss up, Brandon. I don't necessarily think he's TJ Lee, but he's somewhere closer to the kid from Finland, Lou Markin, that used to play for the Bulls. He's a free agent.
Yeah,
he's kinda close
yeah,
to that.
Markin.
He's not a scrub, but he's a stretch four that, not necessarily going to get you a whole bunch of rebounds. And that's in a league where your four needs to do both, be able to score and rebound, he's not that guy. Uh-huh. He's a guy
yeah,
that can
number...
score.
Number eight would be Josh Giddey out of Australia. Number nine, Davion Mitchell. It has him going odds-wise to the Kings, which we just talked about. And then number 10 is Moses Moody, Arkansas there. It's only got the top 10 right there for that. What I'm going to do before we talk more about just Pacers news and notes, John, is I've got the same sounder I think ESPN uses for the NBA or the NFL. So the clock's ticking down, and the Pacers have three picks at 13, 54, and 60. Jonathan Birdsong, you're the general manager of the Indiana Pacers. With a 13th pick in the 2021 NBA draft, your Indiana Pacers are selecting
Davion Mitchell. They will. He'll be there. He'll be there at pick 13. Davion Mitchell.
I hope so.
If he's not there, let's do that. If he's not there,
give me a flip side. If he's not there, what do we do?
I know you hate this pick. I like it, even though he's not necessarily a great shooter. Josh Giddey from Australia. Love him.
Okay. I'm all right with that one. I thought you were going to go a different route.
No.
Okay.
No, Josh
Giddey. All right. So now it's me. It's my turn with the, with the 13th pick. In the NBA draft 2021, the Indiana Pacers select. Now, I want Davion Mitchell, so that's my number one option, okay? So we'll be in agreement there. But if I had to have a backup, give me Moses Moody. I like the layout of this guy. I think he's that stretch that can the athleticism of him. I like him. I would even be fine with Durante with the shooting.
Brandon, I had Moody going to the Warriors. I think he's a wing player that doesn't need the ball. Brook Knight is a guy that likes to have the ball in his hand. How many times you gonna get the ball in your hand with Steph? You know what I'm saying? I had Moses Moody. You think about that magical run Arkansas did. He was like the key ingredient into that run this particular March, April, right? Team just got tired. Team just ran out of gas. You know what I'm saying? You start playing them better. Those better teams. But he's, like I said, he's the cog to kind of stir that drink up for them. So I had Moody going pick 7. If he falls to pick 13, we got a steal. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Sure.
By the way, a little housekeeping tomorrow night, John, we will do, and we'll have to figure out if we want to do it on Facebook or we want to do it on Instagram live. But after the Pacers draft pick is made, we'll go live, just kind of giving our thoughts on the first round pick. I'll most likely be driving back from my golf league, listening to it on the radio, on ESPN radio, but we'll still go a Facebook live and kind of talk our assessment of it. Hopefully I'll be back before they get up to their pick. Cause you know how long ESPN likes to drag this thing out, before the Pacers can pick. So, but we'll go live tomorrow night, either on Instagram or Facebook Live, one of the two, with our reaction for this game, for this pick here. I will tell you, John, there is a chance that we could even hear this tomorrow night. Draft's tomorrow night, right?
It's a draft tomorrow, dude.
Well, I'm telling you, dude, I can't remember things. I really can't. So we might even hear this. We have a trade. The Indiana Pacers have traded the 13th pick to blah, blah, blah. Now, if you don't feel confident in who you're going to draft in this spot, Pritchard and them, then I'm fine trading it away. But if you you cannot, John, and I think you'll agree with me on this, you cannot swing and miss on this. If you're not confident in it, you trade it. But you cannot swing and miss.
I concur. Remember, even 2 weeks ago, we were talking about put together a contract, a current contract that they have on the roster with the pick to bring in a veteran. That's what was kind of also bantied about as well. So that would probably be plan C at this point, right? But I think that might be in Kevin Pritchard's back pocket. He does not want to swing and miss. They're not going to spend a whole hell of a lot of money in free agency this year. They're just not, especially after giving Sabonis the big money they gave him. Just a year and a half ago, and then Miles Turner, is this going to work out with Kirk Carlisle? I mean, if he does, then still Miles is on our roster, and he's the second highest paid, I do believe, second highest paid guy on the team. So again, Brandon, I don't know. All these rumors about Miles Turner going in, going out. It really depends, Brandon, and Crossroads listener, if how his health. Miles Turner did not finish the season on the active players list. We didn't have him. You know, what I'm saying in those playing games at all. He didn't have him for like the last 3 weeks. So, if Miles Turner does get traded, I hope he goes to a middle. I don't want to get a championship ring without before the Pacers, right? But that's kind of the things that happen with the former Pacers player. But I hope he goes. I hope he lands somewhere where his skill set will be better used, and he gets a chance, an opportunity to go in deep into the playoffs. And then whatever the Pacers get back, would be potential pieces that that they could build upon. So like I said, it just kind of depends upon his overall health. He's only 26 years old. My goodness. You know what I'm saying? So that's that too. But they're not necessarily ready to just let it go.
I hate to cut you off. I'm going away from the NBA for a second. We have breaking news. Breaking news out of the Big 12 conference that's hanging to life support as we speak. It has been reported. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowsley tells Sports Illustrated that he has documented evidence that ESPN tried to encourage an unnamed conference to add the Big 12 members in effort to destabilize the league so Texas and Oklahoma could avoid exit fees. This is treacherous interference, he says. It caused me first suspect that ESPN had their hands all over the Texas and Oklahoma move to the SEC. They were deceptive as you can possibly be. They are right and wrong ways to do these things. They sought to be deceptive, deceive us from the very beginning. If our schools hang together, I realize they will have to cover their backside. We will have some options going forward, but it's not going to be easy to replace Oklahoma and Texas. But this is why the Big 12 is going after that. And we mentioned this, ESPN and the money, that they are the ones that have encouraged these people within Oklahoma and Texas to jump ship to the SEC. So figured out that just came out, so I had to say that. But interesting. Going back to Indiana.
Brent,
go ahead.
No, Brent, I want to comment on that. Man, take the $300 million from the two teams, sue ESPN, settle out, go back and get Nebraska and Colorado. That's not Texas and Oklahoma, but at least it's still power football. And, hell, you might even want to tell Missouri, come on this way over here. Would it still be?
Oh, come on now. Missouri loves that SEC money.
I don't know. This is going to get dirty. This is going to get a whole lot worse. A whole lot of, you know, saying dirty when we start talking about the litigation with conference chancellors and whatnot suing networks, man. So I don't know if ESPN is ready for that type of dirt.
I know, right?
They got lawyers and whatnot, but I don't know if they're ready for that type of dirt.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to the NBA real quick, John. Possible trade rumors we've been hearing about. I've kind of wrote some of these down. The Jazz are open to trade it, either Joe Ingles or Bogdanovich.
What?
I can see the Pacers going after each one of them, either one of them. And, hey, I'd bring Bogey back. Come on back to Indiana, Bogey. But Ingles and the Jazz are open to trade Ingles or Bogey.
Damn, man. Bogey can't stay anywhere for two seasons, man. People love him as an offense, man. Defense is, where things kind of go sideways for him, man. That's kind of crazy, man. What could you get? What could you net back? You know what I'm saying? That's going to be kind of interesting, man, for real. Because I think those two guys with the right trade on Toronto, they're back into the playoffs, not back to a championship hunt, but back into the playoffs, which they missed last year. Those two guys on the Lakers, oh my goodness, that's what the King needs, shooters, right? I get it that they're defensively, but they'll work that out. They'll find those two guys, you know what I'm saying, defensive liabilities or not, they'll find a good team to land for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Miles Turner, obviously the talk of several teams and trade. As I said about the three-team deal between the Rockets, Pacers, and Hornets, that would involve Miles Turner, Eric Gordon, and a handful of draft picks in the draft. No official deal as of place now. The Lakers also wanted to get themselves some Miles Turner, and they turned down the trade for the Lakers' number 13th pick and Jeremy Lamb for Kuzma and the 24th. And I'm hearing that Miles Turner would have been attached to that trade there in Indiana, would have gotten back a 2023 first-round pick, which, based on the Lakers, it's going to be at the end of the first round.
Could you imagine him playing with the block party? There's Anthony Davis and him?
The Stonewall in L.A.
Yeah. That's what they would. I mean, they probably didn't offer the Pacers enough, quite honestly. You know what I mean? But, yeah, that'd have been a block party. So, I don't know, man. The rumors abound. Rumors abound. You know, there's rumors. Remember the Cam Reddish rumor about him being shot.
You love Cam Reddish.
I want Cam Reddish to go to New York so they can have Team Duke.
Cameron North. I'm going to get the shirts. Get Cameron the shirts printed. Cameron North.
Get the short prints. They got, you know saying, they got RJ. They'll have Cam. Zion Williams is coming. We know that. You know what I'm saying?
Coach K?
Coach K. Get Coach K a GM hat.
He'll retire from college. He'll go to pro. Why not?
Yeah, why not? USA basketball, 88-1. Why not?
Warriors, Golden State Warriors, John, they're going to be looking to make some moves. They're open to trade the number 7 and 14th pick for a star player. If you're the Warriors, do you go about this route, or do you take your 7 and 14 if you think you can get some quality players there? And you said there's some quality players up there in that top 15.
Part of the draft that I have done is the Warriors. I think the Warriors, if they can't move those picks, they take the best talent available. They didn't really want Wiseman last year. They wanted Giannis. They tried to get Giannis. They couldn't get him. Giannis is rock solid. He loved the organization in Milwaukee. God bless him. They won a championship. So they took Wiseman. Wiseman was sort of a part-time player for him. You know what I'm saying? Got injured, right? You know what I'm saying? But we're talking about a veteran squad that doesn't necessarily want to play with a whole bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds, right?
Right.
They're probably trying to figure out how to make those two picks turn into Damian Lillard. They're trying to figure out how they can make those two picks turn into, like I said.
Would you do it if you're Portland?
They need like one more first rounder. And
so,
if you're telling me I got to take Andrew Wiggins, then you need two more first rounders. I'll be honest with you. So you're putting him and Steph on the same team with rehabbing Klay Thompson. You know what I'm saying? It's almost, it'd be almost illegal. I don't know how they would make it work on the floor, because then Draymond Green going to rebound for everybody.
So they got to throw a 13 in there.
Sure. So, if they don't take the Book Knight kid or even Moses Moody kid at pick 7, I think they shop it. I really do. They were also in the Miles Turner sweepstakes trying to get him to come over as well in a trade. You know,
I'd take a 7 or 14. Give me 13 and 14. Woo.
Yeah. So I think they're just trying to look for the best deal they can get to get somebody. And there was even talk about them going after Siakam up in Toronto.
Yeah.
So.
And the draft's tomorrow, right?
Stop, man. Yes,
no, I'm being dead serious. I'm telling you, man, I can't think straight. Draft's tomorrow. I'm about to put a couple tweets out to Kevin Pritchard. I want to make sure he's up late tonight going through burning that midnight oil. So,
good.
Hey, how about one thing we haven't talked about? You know, we've talked about Kawhi Leonard and how he has an option. Woj said last night Kawhi wants to return to the Clippers next season, $36 million player option for him. But here's the thing, John, coming off the ACL, he could miss the entire next season. Would it be smart for Kawhi to come back towards the end of next season with a knee that you're not, or an ACL that you're not too sure about, in a contract year, or you just sit out the year? And if you sit out the year, then the Clippers got to do something.
Man, and it's not like, you know, it's like Kevin, it's a different situation than with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant coming off two championships with the Golden State Warriors. The Brooklyn Nets was like comfortable with paying him to come over because they knew he would be, he was fine with them healing up, and they had a plan. I'm not sure what the plan is. The window of opportunity to clip, but it's not as open as it was when him and Paul George first joined forces.
Right.
And Doc Rivers was the head coach. You know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, LeBron went to, I hate to take it there, LeBron went to the Lakers and he made it happen. Kawhi didn't go to the Lakers, said there's a new king. Remember that those similar ad promotions they had locally in that L.A. market, and Clipperland is still waiting for a title or even a run in the finals.
Right.
So I don't think Chris Paul ain't walking through that door. You know what I'm saying? Rajon Rondo ain't walking through that door for them. You know what I'm saying? They spent money in the past years. So do they feel some loyalty, you know what I'm saying, a little bit, and or full-time, you know, to let Kawhi Leonard sit? I say yes. But like, does that parlay him into a $145 million contract? I don't know. I can't say. I would say no. I'm not going to even ride the fence there. I would say no. They want to sign him. He wants to stay there. He doesn't necessarily want to go. The other suitor that wants him is Dallas. They want to pair him with Luka. You know what I'm saying? The analytics on that one is nuts, though. You know what I'm saying? What they could do potentially on the floor together. But he wants to stay out west and stay with the Clippers, man. I think they find a happy number. That's what I think. And but we know Kawhi and his people and his uncle are very hard negotiators. So that is,
right.
I expect a little drama. I expect a little drama before the NBA gets drawn that contract.
I think he sits out for the most that he can, because going into a contract year, what does he need to come back for? You know, these
right.
players are looking out for themselves. Hey, Paul, you want to be that star again, brother? Here you go. Have at it. One last thing I forgot to say about the Pacers. I guess, John, if you can't beat them, you bring in their brother. And I didn't know Antetokounmpo had like a fifth brother. But if the Pacers can get him in the second round, bring his ass on. Come on, Indiana.
Yeah, they all the brothers that seemingly have maybe not necessarily Giannis's basketball acumen, but they all seemingly have a skill set and can play a little bit. So I would say, well, yeah, why not? You know what I'm saying? Why not? We can have a spot for athletic forward, and he turns out to be Antonio Davis in 3 or 4 years, man. Then we won that pick. So I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, let me. I actually got more breaking news.
Uh oh. Do 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 do.
What is today's date? Breaking news. Indiana Pacers front. Indiana Pacers writer for the Indianapolis Star, Jay Michael, quote tweets, here's what will determine what the Pacers will do with the 13th pick. A possible trade down scenario that a source has said has been at least considered, and a fast rising prospect from Oregon they appear to like trying to get in for a workout. That would be our Chris Durante from Oregon. I talked about with a 3-point shooting, can spread the ball. Kid looks nice. They're trying to get him in for a workout last minute, apparently today. And then Jay Michaels just came out with an update a little bit ago. If the Pacers keep number 13, I'm being told it's coming down to Durante or Kispert, provided both are on the board. Analysis, if it's between both of them, I'd lead Durante. That's based on not just a workout when they went head up, but Indiana wants shooters who can dribble, create, et cetera, not just shoot. So that's the latest from Jay Michael on the Indiana Pacers front that just came out.
We crapped enough on Corey Kispert during the national championship game because he looked like he didn't belong out there, right? His skill set is somewhere in between Gordon Hayward. I'm talking about NBA skill set. His skill set is somewhere in between Gordon Hayward and McBuckets, who we had the last couple seasons here with the Pacers. Athletically, I think he can keep up offensively, but like defensively is where he's going to lag behind having to play the wing position. It would be a stretch for me. I said it in the first hour. I've said it on Facebook. I'm saying it right now. It would be a stretch for me to pick him, Corey Kispert, but what he brings to the table. That ain't Dan Marley. That ain't, to me, what I saw.
Right.
That's not Gordon.
Right.
That's not – that ain't Gordon Hayward. It would be a stretch for me to pick him at 13. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors pick him with their second –
right.
I think they have a secondary pick at 15, or even he goes, round at 17. I can't remember who's at 17 right now off the top of my head. I wouldn't be surprised. He's a first-rounder for sure, 6'8". You know what I'm saying? Shooter that shoot. I mean, I defense or not, it ain't like the NBA is playing Olympic-style defense anyway, right, these days. So he can play. It just would be a stretch for me to pick him at pick 13.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like I said, I'm not a big Corey Kispert guy. One thing I've always said, the Pacers need a true point guard. That's an actual point guard, facilitator. I know we had rumors about initially back in the day, a free agency with Ricky Rubio. Almost was an Indiana Pacer. But
yep.
Drafting-wise, John, I would even take Josh Giddey from Australia over Corey Kispert in this draft.
Right.
I think Giddey can be a serviceable point guard, if not your starting point guard going into the next season. I know we're cash-strapped, and that's fine. It's going to happen. But I think with T.J. Warren even coming back, and say you run it back with Miles and them, you need somebody to facilitate offense. And even if it might hurt somebody's feelings, and if it hurts his feelings enough, you trade his ass. But if Brogdon comes off the bench and you got Giddey as your point guard, I know that's not going to happen immediately because I don't know if the kid can come out there immediately and be a starter in this league. But you got to get somebody. If you look at these other teams in the NBA, they all have a point guard that can get it going, can get it flowing. And Indiana really didn't get that as much. You kind of had Brogdon where you're saying, hey, we need you to be our point guard. So we'll see what happens. But, I'm seeing another thing on here with the Pacers. Some Pacers fans not. But whoever the hell was Eric Gordon. Now, listen, Kelly Birdsong Hill, I'm sorry. I know you love yourself some Eric Gordon. I was okay with Eric Gordon maybe about 5 years ago. But this ain't the Eric Gordon that you ever fell in love with in North Central and IU. This is Eric Gordon. I saw, I think, shoot 1 of 13 from three-pointers for the Rockets in the playoffs back in the day. This is Eric Gordon with injury-prone Eric Gordon. Those knees ain't going to hold up very much longer. And if you're going to trade the 13th pick to get a little older with a veteran like that, I don't think that fan base here is going to be very happy. I really, really don't, especially this fan base guy right here. So we'll see going into that.
The Eric Gordon and even the John Walls, the last two Rockets standing that are probably, you know, saying kissing 30, or kissing, if not 30, 35, you know what I'm saying? He's not that old. But like, they're probably going to be in the buyer market sometime around, you know what I'm saying, February or after or so, and they'll probably get hooked up with a championship team. They won't. Nobody was going to draft. I don't think anybody's going to blow draft capital to get out of those two guys out of Houston.
Let me give you a trade scenario. Tell me if you'd take this or not. The Warriors would trade Wiseman, Oubre, the 7th and 14th pick. So, I mean, they're loading up this roster for Malcolm Brogdon, Miles Turner, TJ Warren, and a future second-round pick.
That means we're starting over. That's what that would mean. That means we're starting over. We would not be, and I know right now we're still talking about we're fighting for a 4 or 5 seed, and that's fine. Pacers just want to get back to the playoffs and see what they can do and then build upon that. But if you trade all that, that means we're starting over. I love me some Sabonis. I think people kind of look at his plus-minus more. They take away from that more so than his overall game. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Giannis owns him. I get it that Joel Embiid owns it. But, hell, they own half the league when they play him, you know what I'm saying, as bigs. I think if that happens, that we just kind of just start it over. I don't foresee that happening.
I don't see it happening as well. You would, but I think Indiana would get two draft picks in the top 15. Oubre could be good, but I don't think it'd work because I think Oubre is a free agent. I think he'd have to be back under contract, I believe, for him. Looking at another Pacers insider, the top 5 players that he has, not in any particular order to pick it, take 13, Moses Moody, Jalen Johnson, Zaire Williams, Jaden Springer, and Usman Garuba. Are a couple names there. Jared Butler.
Jalen Johnson could be a player.
I know. He got a lot of bad rep.
We really got to have the team psychiatrist, and I got to go talk to his high school coach. I already know what Coach K is probably going to say, you know what I'm saying, if the camera's rolling. But the camera ain't rolling. I think we get a better indication of what kind of player he is. He's got the type of game that our guy Cam Reddish has. I don't think he has the interest even that Cam Reddish has, though. The motor, what I would say.
Right.
One to be better than what you are on your natural ability. You know what I'm saying? I get it. I've kind of turned a little bit on him, but we'd have to sit down more than once. More than just a workout before I draft him at pick 13.
And I'm sure we and you both have more to say once the landscape plays out a little bit more tomorrow night with the NBA draft. But like I said, be looking for our Facebook or Instagram Crossroads account. We'll be going live on one of the two tomorrow night after the Pacers decide what they're going to do. What else do I got, John? We've only got we only got 25 minutes left. Good Lord. Well, I've got I've got this. We're playing the bagpipes, John. It's usually meant for somebody's death, or we're going to bury somebody, a team. What I want to do today is I want to bury the embarrassment of a United States men's basketball program. Greg Popovich, you have buried this team. Three losses just this year. Two exhibition, and then your opener in the Olympics that is completely embarrassing. You came back. Yeah, you may have won by 40-some and beat an Iran team that did not have a single NBA player on it. You're expected to win those games. But I'm so sick and tired of Kevin Durant and these players getting a pass when if LeBron James was on this team, ladies and gentlemen, he would be crucified. And to steal your favorite man's speech, a quote from him yesterday, Dan Dockich, damn, does LeBron James have to come back and save this Team USA? Is that what he has to do, is come back and save Team USA? Because what the hell has happened so far is embarrassing. Yeah, you lost to France. France has got some players. Okay, Gobert, all them, yes. But, my God, two exhibition games, and you had a lead where you can't hit the broadside of a barn, Damian Lillard and some of these other players. John, this Team USA team, I don't know. It's ugly.
I will never not root for USA basketball.
I agree.
Nick Bosa, who's a supporter of a former president, and I know he played football, but if he was out there playing basketball or football for the United States, I would still root for him. And I'm not a fan of the former president that he marks out for. I'm just putting those things. Again, I want to quote Seth Greenberg, a basketball analyst.
God, you all over Seth Greenberg.
Well, I admire him, man. He usually when he comes on, you know what I'm saying, any interview that he has or any topic, when he chimes in, man, he speaks the truth. Don't necessarily speak with politics, even sports politics. That's what I mean. He doesn't necessarily speak with sports politics or anything like that. So is this the best basketball players that we sent? No, but these still are NBA-level players, so remove the excuse. So the two things are true. This is not the best team that we could have sent. This is a bunch of also rings. When you think about Drew Holiday, man, how many times did you be like, oh, my God, what is Drew Holiday doing when we saw him in the playoffs? Yes, Drew Holiday has a Rookie of the Year on his resume. Yes, Drew Holiday now has NBA title on his resume. But, you know what I'm saying, that guy, that ain't – I hate to go back to 1992 – that ain't John Stockton. I hate to go back to Dream Team, too. That ain't Isaiah Thomas. You see what I'm saying? That's not the kind of level of great point guard that we sent. You know what I'm saying? We know Drew, to be honest with you, we know Chris Paul, and I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, he did his Olympic duty. That ain't Chris Paul. You know what I'm saying? Love Drew Holiday. Love what he did. That ain't, so
JaVale McGee is not an Olympian. I'm sorry.
Those are still, well, right. So, but that's not the best team that we could have sent. Okay, but remove the excuse. So if the other team, from a coach standpoint, I'm critical of what you're saying. Popovich, I don't think he's a fraud. I think the championships he won, he deserved them. Yes, he had some of the better players that we've ever seen in NBA history. So why aren't we either engaged or running a plan that suits the style of play that the players that we have? Our spacing is off. The spacing that the NBA players is off. Isolation basketball, you're playing in the hands of European ball. European ball, anybody – dude, I bored myself when our homie Kenneth Barlow came on, who played many years in Europe. Bored myself one week, if not a month, watching nothing but Euro ball. Euro ball is kind of a little bit more physical, kind of like late 80s NBA. And everybody ain't looking for the referee to bail them out.
It's a whole different league. The referees aren't calling it off like they got away with.
Right. So European basketball players are they're almost like plug and play with Olympic style. It's kind of like hand in hand. Okay. The NBA, I'm not gonna say watered down. They changed the rules to benefit offense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They changed the rules to benefit star players. So there's not a whole lot of passing. You'll see guys with triple doubles and all that and rebounds, but there's more shooting than there is passing. Correct me if I'm right or wrong, right?
Right. Right.
In European basketball, Olympic basketball, there's more passing, there's more cutting. It ain't about – the star player might get 18 tonight. He might get 25 tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Whoever the star player is. But it's about passing. If the other guy is in a better position to score, then he gets it. You know what I mean? So that's where the struggle is. But here's the thing, Brandon. This is what I would say. We got the fastest team, period. Why aren't we playing fast? Why aren't we playing faster? Why aren't we playing picking guys up mid-court? The guys we have on this roster have played either in college or either in high school or either on their NBA their AAU teams. You know what I'm saying? They've had to pick up and play. You know what I'm saying? Defense, even in pressurized situations in the playoffs, they need to start playing like that. Take some personal pride. Understand that all eyes are on you. If you know what I'm saying, like, but again, you know what I'm saying in that regard, and then execute. But like I said, Brandon, they are the fastest team. They should play faster. And again, all that plotting, all those brontosaurus players they got from Serbia and whatnot. Like, dude, you should be running circles around them, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know what I'm saying? If you're doing isolation, dribble, 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 you're playing into their hand. And that's why they've struggled.
Okay. Last thing I have on USA /Olympics is the fact that the 3-on-3 basketball is atrocious. There's no stopping. It's like as soon as you make it, throw the ball back and then start the next play. It looks horrible. Horrific is what it looks like.
Oh, man, it's exciting.
I don't like it. No, not my 3-on-3. Give me the regular 3-on-3, make it, take it, all that. And you don't need referees. Call your own fouls. That's what 3-on-3 basketball should be. This stuff is like nonstop. You couldn't put LeBron and these players out there in 3-on-3. They'd be dead. They'd have a heart attack. There's no stopping.
Yeah, you got to play
3-on-3. Yeah, for sure. But shout out to the USA Women's for winning. The fact that the guys can't even qualify for it. So shout out to them. I got two final things I have, John. Three maybe. We're kind of pressed for time. 17 minutes. Number one, Olympics. Still, while we're on the Olympics, real quick, DeChambeau and Rahm are both out of the Olympics due to a COVID-19 positive test. Does John Rahm not understand? You testing positive for a second time, COVID? Like, come on now. DeChambeau just so happened. I think he didn't want to test positive for something else in the Olympics, if you know what I mean. The juice. That's hey.
I thought you were gonna say he's on the green juice, not the juice. I don't think he's a pill popper.
I think he's on something.
Well,
that's why he can't compete.
We'll have to see what Jose says. I'll see Jose Canseco and start a little trouble. See what he says. He knows, but I don't think
perfect.
It looks like
Dak Prescott hurt his shoulder today with a muscle strain. So we'll see what happens. Crossroads Classic. RIP to the Crossroads Classic. Notre Dame, Purdue, Indiana, and Butler. It's over. It is done after this season. I think we could blame the Indiana Hoosiers for it. The fact they have an atrocious record during it, and we can't get any more attendance there. I don't know why it's ending, but IU can't seem to get a win there ever, just like Purdue. So end of the Crossroads Classic, but Crossroads Sports lives on. So I will go ahead.
It's you know, comes down to money. And like, if you look again, I told you, if you look bad, if it's a game you think you should win, you want to dominate in, then you go, you take it. That's on their preseason, right before the Big Ten and for Big East season, you know what I'm saying, season start. What's name didn't want to never play it. Miller never did want to be in it in the first place.
Right.
So now, new coach comes in and he wants to put the stamp down again. Though, I'll be honest with you, man. Like, be careful, programs, when you go away from what makes you special, what your rivalries would make you special. So maybe another game gets created. I know this particular IU regime is scheduled games to play Syracuse and play another New York team or whatever. Again, I feel like that might be 5-6 years down from the years past, and I don't think it's the right thing. But you know, they don't want to play Butler, you know what I'm saying, because they're potentially losing to Butler. They don't want to play Purdue because potentially you got to play Purdue twice during the regular season. You don't want to 3-0 to them, you know what I mean? But again, be careful. what makes you, the traditional rivals that you have in state, be careful, how you go away from them. That's what I would caution.
We got a call real quick. Decott, you got 3 minutes, my man. 3 minutes on your call. What do you got?
Hey, first of all, I didn't realize it was Wednesday, man. My bad. So, I'm having one of those days, right? So, I was hearing the tail end of the IU, the classic deal, right? Percy didn't want it. Yeah. You're right. Mike Wilson does. Mike wants all the smoke. So, I'm proud of that, and I'm hoping that it happens, right, for Mike. But, I called you all about tomorrow, right? Big day tomorrow. I've been kind of following a little bit. There's a kid, and I don't know his name. He's got a 48-inch vertical. They were talking to him today on NBA TV. They're talking about he's a slotted about a ninth or tenth pick. I can't remember his name, but he's got the highest vertical in the pre-draft camps this year. What's his name?
Not Jonathan Kumonga?
I'm not sure. I know they talked to him. He's got a little bit of a fro, that type of deal. I just haven't followed him, so I don't want to speak to it.
Gotcha.
But anyway,
there's
talk about him and the Pacers making that potentially trying to make that happen.
No, thanks. I don't want another Jonathan Bender 2.0. I'm good.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. So here's the other thing we were talking about the other day, these trades, right? I saw that Golden State is talking potentially their 7-14 for our swap of 13 for Miles, and I can't remember what else. I don't see anything out there right now that's been talked about that's worthy, in my personal opinion.
John, I'll let you answer this one. We just talked 40 minutes on. I'll let you recap, John.
The guy you're talking about with the 48-inch vertical is Keon Johnson. He's a bit of a young guy, somebody that they could probably going to take two or three seasons to mature.
No thanks.
Well, I mean, but, like, think about it, man. We just watched Giannis go from, mature, and, like, he ain't even 26. And they got to take – I'm not saying this kid is Giannis. I'm not saying that. But he is athletic. He was a standout at Tennessee, even though Tennessee kind of sucked from a one-loss standpoint.
It was Tennessee, you're right.
But I don't know. I don't think I think Miles eventually gets moved. I don't know if it's going to be Golden State or not. But I wouldn't necessarily. I'm not crazy about moving him. I mean, I'm tired of the talk. To be honest with you, not tired that you bring it up. I'm tired of the talk. But
no,
like, at 26 years old, we talking about getting rid of a 26 year old guy that everybody kind of covets. Why does everybody want him? Why does everybody want him? What are we doing wrong?
The defensive end, off the ball, the defensive end, and that's what we need, right? We got to have it. So hopefully, most folks understand and see that, man, because if we don't, that's going to continue to be a challenge for us. So hopefully it gets done. I'm going to be in Carmel tomorrow at the draft party. I'll be there probably about 6, 6:30. I can give you guys live updates if you want. I don't know if you guys want to get down there. I know I've got two additional. So if you all are interested or you got some time, let me know. I'll have a grand total of four.
Okay. I know I'll be coming back from a golf outing.
Yeah,
okay.
Me and Brandon are kind of talking about doing a show,
right after the pick.
Show, whatever, right after the pick.
Okay.
I'll get your number, and we can kind of text back and forth about it. No problem.
Okay. I'll be down there, man. Like I say, and I'll just shoot you guys, let you know what's happening. Hopefully, I'm hoping I get on the tube and get some interview going. But I'll keep you guys posted for sure. And I look forward to making things happen.
Decott, before you leave, I know Brandon told you 3 minutes. Texas got a chance in the next 5 years to win an SEC championship. If everything started
who does?
Next year. Texas. Does
who
Texas
does?
Have a chance of competing
no,
in the SEC?
No. Because they're arrogant. and they believe their own so and so doesn't stink.
Right.
Well,
no.
I think that's Alabama too.
But it does.
Well, that, it don't.
You have been watching the last 12 years. But
I have. I won a lot of money off of them.
There you go, my man. Me too. So, but what I'm saying is they've got to understand that. Hey, listen, we're Texas, but we haven't done anything since Vince Young, and he's been out of the NFL for what, 8 years now, 9 years,
at least,
maybe longer than that. So my point
maybe
is, I know we're up against the break. I'm gonna catch you guys Wednesday, but I'll definitely be texting you guys over the next 24 hours, especially when I'm down in Carmel tomorrow. I may need one of you guys to come get me, but you know they don't, in Hamilton County they don't play.
Exactly. All right. Take care, Deacon.
All right, guys. Be safe.
All right, Deacon. Thanks for calling. Reggie Sykes, you got 2 minutes. What's going on?
First of all, he don't know jack. He's taking advice from a man that don't know sports. He's taking advice from a man who jumps team to team. He's taking advice from a man that jumped from Notre Dame to Alabama. He's taking advice from a man that left the coast and went to the Washington no-name team in New England. Deacon don't know sports like Reggie Sykes knows sports. The trade that Golden State's talking about doing is for Wiseman. Okay, I like Wiseman, but I don't want to really lose Miles Turner because of his defense. He's correct. He's a defensive player. Miles Brockton, once again, should be a shooting guard, not a point guard. And he may have worn out his welcome here with the fans because they think we have lost three coaches because of him. Other than that, I hate SEC because they're trying to blow it up for the money. They're trying to get the teams from the Big Ten and everybody. Texas won't win a national championship, but Alabama won't win either. And the Cincinnati Reds love leaving people on base. My Dodgers will win the championship. The Colts will win first in their division, no matter what they talk about when, look how he's looking at a training camp. He's going to be perfectly fine. He hasn't played against a defense in, what, a year and a half, 2 years? Get him in a chance. If the game has to be canceled because people didn't get COVID shots, is the NFL going to refund the money to the fans? Jason Whitlock is an idiot.
I did watch that. He is.
Jason Whitlock is an idiot.
So is Clay Travis.
I have nothing wrong with people's take, but Jason Whitlock to me, I went to high school with Jason Whitlock. You know, we weren't the best friends, but he was cool people, I thought. But to me, you're saying stuff about black athletes just so you can get hit, just so you can keep jobs, just so you can stay popular, just so you can. I just don't understand the things that he does. And then when he gets fired, he wants to blame it on him being a black man. But any other time, don't nobody know what they're talking about. Mental illness is real. Michael Phillips said the tennis player from Japan, she admits, you know, that you've had several athletes recently come out and talk about everybody don't deal with stress like you. Everybody don't like to be talkative like me and D. Cox. Everybody don't like doing interviews. That's not them. They may be more introvert than extrovert. Everybody's not the same. And I think they should respect that. And I know that's my 2 minutes, but I just had to get that sorry bum D. Cox back. And I love your show. I'm about to go back and listen to some of the dumb stuff he was saying earlier. Go Dodgers.
Appreciate.
Go Colts. Go Notre Dame. Go Southern University. Ha, ha, ha. Deion Sanders, you'll never be Southern University.
Oh, my God.
Grambling won't either. I'm
thanks,
out.
Reg. All right, Reggie Sykes coming in with it hot. Hey, that's all I got to do is just make sure I get
super hot.
Yeah, and all I got to do is give him a time limit, and he'll come in with all the hot takes. I give him a time limit. He's good. All right, John, we got less than 5 minutes to go. NFL training camps have opened, John. Hall of Fame game is next Thursday, Steelers and Cowboys. Aaron Rodgers is back. He's back. They've reworked the deal where he's going to play this season, and then he'll have his own say in his future. One last dance in Green Bay, but I think to have a one last dance, you got to win more than one championship. So don't even be caring to Michael Jordan and this stuff. He could be traded after this season. He got his own right to where he can't be franchised. Your thoughts real quick. Aaron Rodgers, he's back.
Put up or shut up, Aaron Rodgers. You got to win it. You got to win it. Regardless of my coach and with all that fandom, Aaron Rodgers has to win it. Don't choke this year.
Okay. I agree. Yeah, you got to do it this year. You've been doing all this nonsense in the offseason. Time to put up or shut up. So we'll see what he does there. The other big topic going on, John, we'll try to keep it within a minute or so. Simone Biles withdrew from the team event. She withdrew from the individual events now. Not there mentally, mental health. On Twitter, she's getting crucified. I've seen people on her side. I've seen people crucifying her. Personally, myself, I have no problem what she did because if you're not there mentally, you have a chance to injure yourself, to hurt yourself, and to hurt the team. And I don't have a problem. If she's not there, unfortunately, I know you're not supporting the team. You're letting the team down. But I think if you're not there, mental health is a serious thing. I don't have a problem with it. I'm okay with it.
Right. People just assume because she's smiling and acting a certain way that depression ain't real. So, again, I'm not about to go on the depression kick and tell you, everybody has to check their mental health. You just do. People want to compare it to what Michael Jordan did or what LeBron went through or Ali and Wilma Rudolph. And I've seen everything, man. Apples, it ain't even apples, it's apples type of thing. Social media bullying is real. The pressure of dealing with COVID, that is real. The pressure of not having fans in the stands, in a sport they kind of rely on that type of feedback from the is real. And the pressure to be better, dude, she's graded on a different on a higher level because she's that damn good. So
right.
Again, nobody should question if somebody if it's an excuse, then you keep your opinions to yourself. I mean, of course you voice your opinions however you want, but you know. I don't think she's soft in any type of situation. And guess what? My personal opinion is 52 weeks out of 52, we don't even talk about – me and you don't even talk about it, right?
Right.
So how in the hell can some pundit from whatever show, whether it is ESPN, Fox, or Quick Kick, Out Quick, whatever it's freaking called, going to chime in and say she's soft or something like that? You don't care.
Right.
You just didn't have nothing. You didn't have the draft analysis breakdown that me and Brandon Reef had, so you had to go something. You had to go something easy. So there you go.
Right. Absolutely. Last thing I have, John. Ghostbusters. Saw the new trailer today that you posted. I'm a big Ghostbuster mark. I had all the stuff back as a kid: figurines, the costumes, the play sets, you name it. I had it. You better believe everybody loved Baby Yoda. Mini Puff. Give me a little Stay Puff guy. I want him. That is awesome. I love all the little ones.
I was shocked to find out that you were a huge Ghostbuster fan.
Huge Ghostbuster guy.
Huge. When I seen that updated trailer for the movie, it's kind of I think it came out in Thanksgiving.
And it looks good.
Christmas. I think. Yeah, it looks good. Doesn't necessarily pull a whole lot of from. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't pull off a whole lot of nostalgia. That last Ghostbusters they had like a couple of years ago with the female cast, it really wasn't funny. I'm not saying it because it was all females.
Right.
I'm just saying it because it wasn't funny. This one is kind of a new territory. And yes, they do you know what I'm saying remark about the past a little bit, but it looks great. And like I said, I can't wait to see it. I think it's gonna be good. I mean, even that's even just watching the trailer. So. I'm probably not as big as Mark as you are when it comes to Ghostbusters.
Oh, huge mark, dude.
I've probably watched Ghostbusters 1 and 2 probably over 100 times to put together. So I can't wait to see this new era starts for sure.
Absolutely. Bill Murray's reaction, if you look it up on YouTube, Bill Murray has a reaction video to seeing Mini Stay Puft. It's great. It's hilarious. He watches the movie trailer. So check it out when you can. John, I got to finish up. Thanks everybody for watching this evening. Tomorrow night, NBA draft. Myself and John will go live either on Instagram or Facebook Live with our reaction to whatever the hell the Pacers decide to do, whether it be keep it, trade it, you name it. We'll talk it and more. John, we got less than 50 seconds. Wrap us up, my guy.
Man, I just want to say thank you to D-Cott. I want to say thank you to Fred Feller from KFF Connection. I want to say thank you to even the King of Trolls for this hot take. Take yourself, man. And also, thanks to Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance and Maverick Custom Motorsports for making all this possible. Everybody, the Crossroad listener audience, thank you as well. If I didn't call you out, I will next week. Outside of that, thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah. Clay Travis, you're a bum.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for